Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This episode is brought to you by One United Bank, America's largest Black-owned bank and first Black internet bank.
One United believes that money is power, and we can use it to build wealth in the Black community, not only for today, but for the future as well.
This is more than a moment, it's a movement. With the right mindset and actions, we can be financially woke. When we unite the power of our dollars, there's no limit to what we can do.
Move your money and bank Black with One United Bank today. Visit oneunited.com to learn more.
Hi, I'm Joy Marie.
And I'm Courtney.
Welcome back.
It's another episode of Job Logs, helping you make sense of making a living.
Yes.
In today's world of work.
Yep, new episodes on the 1st and the 15th. Coming up.
You know what? It's uncertain times.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just talking about the ways that we can prepare ourselves for the unexpected. So yeah. Whether you want to call it a plan B, a safety net, we're kind of getting into the weeds of staying ready so you don't have to get ready.
Love it. But first, you guys know we like to clock in with each other, see how we're doing personally, professionally, especially in this day and age.
Yes.
Courtney, how are you?
I'm doing well, letting the spirit of Gucci Mane LaFleur guide me.
Pastor Gooch.
Yes, yes. Positive thinking.
Listen, I'm loving his flourish. He is so positive on Twitter
I know. He looks so good. Yes. Got his new album out. So, yes, I'm just trying to stay positive because, you know, I've expressed to you that I now hate self-care. I hate every time someone says it to me.
I just
don't like the term anymore. But I feel like I've slacked in that area, too. Mm. Like, I think I've just been letting myself get stressed out and all that stuff. So, being more disciplined about like carving out some time for myself, and Gucci is a very big part of that.
Good.
So,
what's your self-care ritual or routine of choice?
For me, I like to close out the day. I like to wind down before, because I sleep horribly when I don't. But I like to kind of like cut off the TV, like do some reading, maybe a little journaling, a little meditation, just kind of calm spirit.
I love that. I thought you were going to say wind down with wine because that's my wind down of choice.
That's my
afterwork. I need to find a better one. Love it.
What's going on with you?
Similarly am being very intentional about being grateful and just like adopting more of a gratitude mentality.
That's important.
Because I'm definitely the type of person who's always like, what's next? What don't I have? What do I need to do to get to the next level?
Mm-hmm.
But I realize I don't really often stop and just like appreciate everything I have or what I've worked for to this point.
Yeah.
So I started journaling as
well
every night. It's my birthday month, so thought I'd journal every night for 30. And just like, it's been great because I've just been reflecting on everything I'm happy to have.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's therapeutic.
Yes. And a lot is going on in the world.
Yes.
As well.
What is going on in the world?
So did you hear, well, I know you did because we talked about it in the group chat, Dove's latest little kerfuffle.
Yes, I saw the ad.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't like fuming.
Yeah.
Like I was just confused.
Can we talk about that a little bit? Because Dove, I guess, released an ad on Facebook.
Yes.
Somebody screen capped it. It was a video.
Someone
got a screenshot and they were like,
the screenshot
four still
was more
frames.
Viral than anything.
Yeah. Of like, it looked like a Black woman with a brown shirt taking off her shirt, MJ black and white style, and transforming into a white woman with a white shirt.
And then there was like a bottle of soap next to it, which didn't help.
Yeah.
It didn't help.
Yeah, so I feel like we were in our group chat. We were just like, what
were
they going
this?
For?
And then when we saw the full ad, I was even more confused.
Yeah.
Like, I don't, what?
It was bad. Yeah. But so what I want to talk about is just like, I think it's okay to not always be offended. Like, I think it's all right to sometimes take a look and, you know, you be true to your opinions and just be like, I don't really fully see the problem.
I mean, I wasn't offended though, but I also didn't support it either. Yeah. Like, it was just like poor, it was just poor decision making. Like, it just made me think, like, why don't you guys hire more women of color?
Yeah.
Because I feel like you would have saved money. Somebody would have said, hey, this is just not worth the payoff. Yeah. So let's not do this.
Yeah. Because one of our mutual friends was playing devil's advocate and was like, well, I can't make an opinion until I see the full video. But I think, I mean, to your point, I think like the snapshot image matters just as much as
it does
whatever the content is the brand is creating. Yeah. So that does matter. But I don't know. I just, like, people were throwing around the word racist.
I know. People were, like, doing their think pieces and stuff. And I was like, I don't know if this is a hill to die on for anything.
I thought it was a little extreme.
Yeah.
But in other news.
In other news.
In real extremities.
Okay.
Jemele Hill, ESPN. Poor thing. Suspended recently.
Okay. And I have devil's advocate thoughts about this as well. Because, so this is the second time she's been suspended, I believe. What was the first time? Was
what
about
was the Trump, wasn't it? She said she called him a white supremacist. Which
yes.
He is.
And she was like talking about the Ta-Nehisi Coates article, which was like called the first, like it was all about Trump being a white supremacist.
Right. Which he is.
So she got suspended for that. Second time she got suspended because basically she was saying, well, like, I'll read her tweet verbatim.
Okay.
Like, she was quoting someone and she was saying, if you strongly reject what Jerry Jones, I believe he's the Cowboys owner, mm-hmm. requiring players to stand for the anthem. If you strongly reject what Jerry Jones said, the key is his advertisers. Don't place the burden squarely on the players. And so then she talks, and it's like she says multiple times about, like, don't lash out at the players, like, target the advertiser. So that's why she got suspended. But this is my thing. You're telling people to boycott the advertisers of the Cowboys. You work for ESPN, who more than likely share advertisers with the Cowboys. So it's like, can we really be shocked that they would have a problem with you calling for boycotts of their advertisers?
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to take off my Black Twitter Insta outrage hat.
Right.
And for a moment try to be objective, which I think the real problem here is that no one ever is objective when it comes to Black people or Black women.
Right.
So
right.
We know that if it probably would have been a white man, which it has been because, hello, you're president.
Right.
Nothing would have happened. We know that. We're not disputing that. But I do agree with you to the extent of, like, when you work for a company, you're a representative of that company. And that's why people put that little thing in the bio.
Yeah.
That's like, you know,
views are mine. Yeah.
But even with that, that doesn't, like, completely, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't think we can be, like, surprised that, like, so some people are like, oh, she was just talking about sports. Like, she's, you know, giving her Black viewpoint on sports. And, like, I'm like, that's fine. But, like, there are other things at play. Now, of course, like, they could have just said, done that internally and been like, hey, girl, like, I get it. But this is our money.
Yeah.
So, of course, I mean, there's a reason why it was that her punishment was public, for sure.
Yep.
But I think definitely we all want to speak out and we all want to have a viewpoint, but you kind of have to navigating that corporate aspect to is very tricky.
It is. And other disheartening news that I can't seem to stop.
You laugh to keep from crying.
Harvey Weinstein.
Isn't it icky? Did you listen to the audio? It's so creepy.
Yeah. So I read the full. So Harvey Weinstein, big, whatever, Miramax, Hollywood, legendary exec. If you have been living under a rock or haven't heard, you know, I guess it was like a very well-known thing within the industry that he was kind of predatory, outright, you know, raping some women, some of these accusations, definitely sort of sexually harassing. And
very,
just
like,
gross.
Real freaky, nasty stuff.
Nasty. Well-kept secret within the industry for over 20 years.
Yes.
But the New York Times did an expose, blew the lid off that thing, it was the New York Times start. Yeah. Two people reported on it, and then the New Yorker followed up with actual details. Ronan Farrow, I believe his name was. I think he spoke with 16 women. Gross.
super gross.
So gross.
Worth noting that, like, Harvey Weinstein is, like, he was much, he's kind of a diminished figure.
Yes.
Like, he very much ran the show in, like, what is it, 90s, early
Back
2000s.
In the, yeah.
So it's like he's, this takedown was happening as his influence isn't as strong as it used to be.
But, I mean, the whole thing just got me, first of all, it's so sad, but the whole thing just got me thinking about these, like, systems.
That's what got me, is like they built a whole infrastructure around his horrible behavior.
Yeah.
Like everyone in the company is like in on it, and they like, they know to like, you know, shuffle these actresses up to his room and then disappear.
Yeah.
And then they know to like, oh, let me get her some projects so she won't say anything.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like,
yeah, it's gross. And I feel like those systems exist in every industry, whether it's related to like harassment, sexual harassment, or other types of systems. We know about like sort of racial oppression or bribery,
or
like
even
that.
Just being like a horrible person.
Person,
like I've worked at companies where when it's like when the entire, you know, operation is geared around one person and like keeping their personality soothed or what have you end up just having these crazy things, like much more minor. But I worked somewhere where part of the, we had like a whole guideline checklist of like stuff that this person doesn't like. So like simple stuff to like, oh, don't crumple your potato chip bag.
Oh my gosh,
like
stop.
Written in employee handbook guidelines.
Yeah.
So it's just crazy how it can just get out of hand.
For sure. Anyway, y'all stay woke out here.
And also don't blame women for stuff when this stuff happens. Like, people are blaming like Hillary for not saying something soon enough. They're blaming like Angelina Jolie, like, oh, you're so powerful. Why didn't you say anything? Like, she was like, she just came out the womb. Well, she did come out the womb.
Well, that's the part that's gross too, is because he was preying on these women when they were so early in their careers. And that kind of industry, like Hollywood and acting, like, there aren't, it's not as easy to just be like, no. Like, there's one gatekeeper. And if you like cross him the wrong way, I was reading about how he was getting legal teams and PR teams to like smear people's reputations. Like, I can't imagine how intimidating and scary that is. So, it's really gross when people abuse power like that. But I am always comforted in the fact that it always comes out. So watch yourself.
Watch yourself. And then finally, and news that tickles me is how much Facebook is in the news lately. Facebook is about to get that butt regulated by the government, and I'm cackling. So Mark Zuckerberg took a break from, like, low-key running for president.
Yeah.
I don't know if y'all have seen, like, his post of, like, me and my wife were in Iowa talking to the good folks. It's like, what are you doing? So apparently, we know about Russia tampering with our elections and like creating all these fake posts and feeds designed to like pit us against each other. Side note, Black Twitter has been calling out fake accounts forever.
Can I tell you a personal story?
Go ahead.
You remember when I checked in somewhere on Instagram and it changed my location to Russian, and I tried to tell y'all about it.
Oh, you did?
And the people laughed at me, and I was like, it was election night, and I was like, something is going on here.
See?
Listen.
See, if y'all would just listen to us, we know what's happening.
Right.
But anyway, I just thought it was very interesting that Zuckerberg, at first they were like, oh, this would never happen on Facebook. Boo. And now he's like, quote, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that we're going to catch all the bad content on our system. We don't check what people say before they say it. And frankly, I don't think society should want us to. Zuck, you're not like a country. Like, you're not the government. Like, you have a business. It's your job to like filter and fact check your content. So it's interesting because I'm taking a course right now just about digital media companies and how it's always this cycle where, like, they let them go free and then, like, there's inevitably a monopoly or something and then they start regulating.
Yeah.
So it's just funny how the hubris of kind of Silicon Valley is just thinking, like, oh, we're just going to set up these automated systems, let them go crazy, make money because we don't hire people to manage them. And, you know, whatever happens, happens.
Nope.
Hire people. Like, I buy Facebook ads all the time, and it's great, the convenience, but the fact that, like, I can just pay for like a million people to see this and y'all just not gonna look
not
at
gonna
it.
Not gonna regulate it, yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
So, you know, pay attention. You're gonna see a lot of your tech companies getting busted up.
Yeah, I'm here for it.
All right, this is a segment of the show where we highlight the products, services, tools, experiences, all the things that we're currently loving or hating in our professional lives. So, Joy, you've got something on your heart today.
I do. And I am raving about a strategy. So just last night, actually, I was feeling really overwhelmed. It's been like a really busy week. Everyone's back to work at work. We had this to prep for and a bunch of other stuff. And I started, like, anxiety started creeping in. And so I sort of got debilitated and didn't want to do anything. And that happens from time to time when I have a lot of things on my plate. So I found an article on Inc. that just recommended strategies for when you're feeling overwhelmed.
Okay.
And as we talk about kind of prepping for Plan B in the future, I think also thinking about, like, saving your energy for things that matter. That's kind of how I think about this is, like, don't waste the, you know, the terror and the anxiety stressing over things that you don't have to. So I'm going to recommend a couple strategies from the article.
All right, shoot.
So one, they say chunk it down, like take a look at your big tasks and figure out really what are the small actionable pieces that you need to get through. So
make it manageable.
Yeah. So like in my case, the thing that was overwhelming me was like, oh, I have to do like my year-end review. That's like this big like abstract thing. But when I broke it down, it was really like, oh, I've already started working on this. I really only have to like figure out like two or three updates to what I already started. And that, you know, made me feel a little bit better. So chunk it down, break it down. Secondly, they recommend like investing time in technology when it makes sense. So if there are things that can automate what you're doing or templates or ways you can sort of like rinse and repeat. Like in my example, I started with what I already had. You know, think about that. And then prioritizing. I think that is one of my like big areas that I struggle with because everything's always like the number one thing that I need to finish in my head.
And yeah.
Like really stepping back and being like, okay, but what actually needs to get done tonight? What can I do tomorrow morning? What can I do next week?
Yeah.
Like that's been big.
And sometimes I do like a fake prioritization because like the thing that I dread the most, I'll just make it the first priority. Because like sometimes like you're just procrastinating not to do that thing. And it's like clouding your judgment about everything else. So it's just like, okay, let's just get this done.
Yeah. And then lastly, which kind of goes hand in hand with that, it recommends just checking if the deadlines are real. Because I think, I mean, we're all grown. So for the most part, we kind of regulate ourselves for the most part. You might have a boss that checks in on the status of something, but we're all responsible for our own work and getting it in. And so sometimes like, you know, asking for what you need, like even today I emailed my director and I was like, hey, can I have another 30 minutes on this? And that made like a difference. She was like, yes. Like, she wasn't going to say no.
Right.
But I would have racked out my hair and my brains trying to get it into her 30 minutes earlier. So anyway, hope those strategies are helpful, but just want to encourage you guys to, you know, where you can redirect that like, stress, anxiety, and energy into the stuff that really matters.
So I know we've said this on the show a ton of times. Stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
Yes, ma'am.
And we've talked about things like keep your resume up to date, but really it's deeper than that. So with the craziness that's going on with the world, sometimes we can feel a little unsteady. And even if you feel steady, you never know what's around the corner.
Exactly.
So whether it's, you know, your finances, your work life, we really just want to make it a lifestyle of just being secure in ourselves that whatever happens.
Yeah, I think a lot of times when we think about staying ready, we talk about savings and the financial aspect. So today we're just going to tackle the conversation from three different perspectives.
Yeah.
Not just savings and finances, but your work and also your network. So
awesome.
Let's get into it.
Yes. Okay, so for the work, keeping this resume up to date, a lot of people like will email us and talk like, oh, I'm, you know, feeling a certain way about this job. And we're always like, keep the resume up to date. But like, what does that mean? Like, how do you know when it's time to like add something to your resume? Like, I know it's just like, okay, this is my current position, it's there. But like, what adds value to that document?
Yeah, I mean, this is a lesson I learned this year. We always say it, but like, I realized like, you can't just wait till the moment you're ready to start looking to be like, oh, let me update everything. I think it's I think it's just not getting like complicit in your current role, but keeping your resume up to date is about also having a pulse on how the skills in your field are evolving. So in our case, like we're in marketing and you're in specifically digital marketing.
Yeah.
Podcasting is becoming huge, video is becoming huge, like, you know, like native like advertising and native content is becoming huge. And so like, it, does your resume reflect that, basically? Do you speak the new language of the field that you're in?
Yeah.
Or are you still using terms from 4 years ago?
That's real.
So I think that's one way.
Yeah, that's definitely one way. And I think it's like when you have really big wins at work, because we always talk about like quantifying and being very specific about your accomplishments. So it's not just like, oh, I manage such and such type of projects. It's like, oh, I implemented this and increased, you know, X percent of our followers or something like that.
The impact part.
Right, right. So, and I think it's easy to forget that, like once you sit down and you're like, okay, what have I done?
Yeah.
So like kind of saying, oh, this is this shows that I can do the dang thing.
Yeah.
So those type of things.
Yeah. And I feel like so staying ready with those accomplishments, those strategies vary, but you might have a little folder on your computer.
Yes.
It's called trophies. And I drop the emails right in there. Or sometimes I email myself when I'm feeling particularly high off.
Excuse me? What do these emails say?
I'll say something like, hey, Joy Marie, like you really rocked that. And then I'll put in the quotes that aren't in writing or email. So if someone, an SVP pulled me offline and was like, Joy Marie, you did an incredible job with that, I'll transcribe it so I have it.
Look at you.
I remember how I felt and what I accomplished.
So you put me onto that. I call it my brag folder.
I love that.
And usually if anyone sends me an email that says like, oh, thank you so much for this, this was awesome, any compliments,
yes,
they go in my brag folder.
Yeah. So that's definitely staying ready. And I think I think it is a little bit about the actual document of your resume.
Mm-hmm.
So what's like a good, I guess, cadence of updating the actual document?
You know what? Don't go by my actions, because I probably need to do it better. Because I would say maybe even like, would quarterly be enough?
Quarterly? I feel like quarterly is good.
Probably
or
a little
instead
more.
Of maybe not even thinking about cadence, but in terms of thinking of different types of roles. So if you're like someone like me who has, I have like diversity and inclusion experience, event experience, and digital marketing, but I don't put them all necessarily in the same place because that can confuse an employer. So having the three versions and making sure it's out in the world so you can also be found. So for me, like, just passive sites like Monster, whatever. I'll throw them on there just in case, you know, somebody wants to call me up.
Cute. And your LinkedIn profile is really important. Everyone's always stalking, keeping aware of what's happening.
Yeah. I think another, when you said LinkedIn, like another piece of staying updated is even that summary. Like, how do you describe your brand?
Yeah.
You know, what is the... When do I want to be more of the diversity person? Or when do I want to be more of Joy Marie the podcaster? Or when do I want to be more of Joy Marie the marketer?
Yeah, so it's like, almost like kind of having your personas and developing that.
Yeah.
I like that. Also, a portfolio, another super important document. One way that I just pat myself on the back, because I found that I did a little life hack for my portfolio, because it's just painful for me to, like, think about, like, case studies and examples of work I've done and stuff like that.
Tell us, Courtney, what's a portfolio when you're not an artist?
A portfolio, well, you're basically displaying the work that you've done. So for me, I will do, this is how I did it. Since I write a lot in my profession, I decided to do blog posts.
Mm.
And what I would do is whenever I had like a cute little win or I had like a campaign do really well, I would just like write about the experience of doing it. So like thinking about, okay, what was the problem? And then how do we come up with a solution? Lessons learned.
Ooh, I love that.
And then I just write it as a blog post, and then suddenly because rather than having just like a personal blog or like a strict work site, it's like, oh, if you can kind of go through and like look at all these different ways.
I love that a lot because it's like it brings life to the resume. So instead of being like, I launched this project at work, you're like writing and telling us the process of how you brought that
project. So I'm showing
to life.
You a skill. But also showing you the work.
Yes.
So really that is ultimately what your portfolio is, showing you the problems that you routinely address and then your thought process of how you solve them.
I need me one of those. Okay.
That's for free. You take that.
I love it. I love it.
And before we move on, I do want to say that even if you're like satisfied where you are, it's important to do all these things because you never know if there's a promotion coming up and if no one's going to root for you like you root for you. So being able to have the goods and saying, like, I deserve this because X, X, X. Like, here's the receipts. It's all about a receipt.
Yeah, you know, I think I was thinking about it in terms of, like, a new job. But it really doesn't have to be that, to your point. It's even just, like, staying ready in case you bump into somebody important in the elevator. And you could just whip out the, hey, nice to meet you. I work in this organization of yours. Here's what I just launched last week. Would love to keep this convo going. Because you just never know who you're going to come across.
You never, never know.
I love it.
Okay. So work is together.
Yes.
Now there's this intangible thing. And we talk a lot about the importance of relationships. But I feel like there's not enough talk about being strategic with our relationships. And like when people say networking, a lot of times they think of just being uncomfortable and forced. But I think you can blend the two.
So why, like we just talked about work, and that makes sense to me around like why it's important to keep that fresh up to date. Why, like what's the draw with your network?
I would say because especially the higher up you get, it's less about like the job posting and more about like hearing like, hey, such and such is hiring or, oh, I know somebody who could fit the, like it's more about who you know.
Yeah. No, you're right.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. I'm learning that this year. I am learning that. No, seriously, because
well,
like,
you put
know.
Me on though, so let's not do this. Because put me on in my job search.
There are things I know in my head that I've talked to all about, but like I'm really feeling it, you know what I mean? Like I think I always knew that, but you really feel it, especially as you move away from entry level roles, because I feel like entry level roles are really focused on like your skill set and if you can do the job, and if you're great and likable, it's competitive. But I mean, here in New York City especially, like you start to move into middle management, everybody's a manager. So if you're gonna get an opportunity, it is literally 100% of the time because somebody is vouching for you and put in for you. So
for true.
How do we make it happen?
One thing that's ignored is like nurturing your existing roles. Cause it's always like, oh, you gotta go network with your business cards and meet people. But are you tending to the relationships that you already have?
Yes.
So keeping in touch.
And are you tending to them in a way that's mutually beneficial? Because I've been known you since we were in high school, you know what I mean? But like when we started doing this show, I learned so much about your work and what you actually do and like your thought process. So, I mean, not that you have to have a business relationship with all your friends, but sometimes ask people like, or even I love that y'all and like one of our other mutual friends will just be like, oh, what do you think about this proposal I'm about to send to my boss? And like share it with your network and get their expertise and see what they have to say. Because sometimes you'll be really surprised, like, I mean, how smart your friends are.
For real.
Really.
Yeah, I love that. And I think also like the people that you meet and like, oh, you get a good vibe from them. And then all of a sudden, like, they just disappear into the abyss. Like you just don't even know where they went.
Yeah.
So I think being intentional about just maintaining contact with people. Yeah. And it can be big ways like, oh, let's, you know, grab lunch this day or let's go out for drinks. But it can also be like I use social media for that more and more now.
Same.
Like just once you see a great post and like somebody accomplished something, just like saying, oh, hey, congratulations on this. And just like staying on people's radar in that way. And it can like keeping it very sincere and just giving good vibes to people. It keeps you top of mind.
Yeah. I like social a lot because I think I used to feel really overwhelmed by having to like email people and follow up and then do a coffee. Now I just add people on I add some people on Instagram because I'm like, I could just keep up with you that way.
Yeah.
And DM you when you post a story that's interesting. And then you feel like we're still connected and chatting, even though we really haven't had a proper catch up in a while.
Right. Yeah, I like that.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Who should you be keeping in touch with?
I think if you would have asked me that like 7 years ago, that answer would be different than now. I think you should keep in touch with people who are hustling in their respective fields, quietly or, you know, because I think a lot of times we tend to go for the folks that we see making moves publicly. But sometimes it's the quiet one you haven't heard from in a while that is working on their thesis or whatever the case is that's really building. And so I think keep in touch with people who are hustling. Keep in touch with people who just kind of like feed your spirit, honestly.
Yeah, I was going to say, with people you like. Like, not to be fake around here. Like, I generally try and keep in touch with people that I just enjoy. Like, I like the way you move in the world. Mm. Like, I like your perspective.
Yeah.
And generally, like, you know, birds of a feather flock together. You kind of be drawn to the, like, listen to your gut and your instinct.
That's almost more important than the, I mean, people you like that are hustling too, but the hustling is like kind of transactional. It means like you're looking for the people that are going to make it on top.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's the way to focus, because at the end of the day, the people that intimately you connect with and enjoy, those are going to be the deeper relationships than the people you're just trying to, you know, stay in touch with because you think they're going to be successful.
Yeah.
That's less authentic.
True. And I also pay attention to the people who I feel like take an interest in me. I mean, but especially like people who are like more senior than I am, and like I've worked with one woman and we just like really clicked, and so even though we don't work in the same space, like I still like try and text her and like keep her, you know, on top of like, you know, her family and she's moving, and so I just try and check in because like I just kind of want her in my universe, even though our jobs have kind of pulled us apart. So, like, people who inspire you make you feel good. And, you know, I think that's the key.
I also think it's good to throw some wild cards in the mix every now and then. So, you know, you got your people you like, your people you bang with. But every now and then, just push yourself, stretch yourself
that's
a little
true.
Bit, whether it's, like, a meetup group or an industry association. You know, I don't know, if you're in advertising, they have like ad clubs, or if you're a designer, they have design meetup groups or photography, whatever the case is, like switch it up and meet somebody that maybe is like polar opposite of you, because I find a lot of times I'm really surprisingly inspired by, I can be like, who's an example? I feel like I can meet someone who's like our PhD episode, for instance. Higher education's not like a space I've really ever been into, or academia, or like known much about. But I was so intrigued by that whole dialogue.
Yeah.
And even recently, someone at work introduced me to this guy that's like this like creative visionary, like on America's Next Top Model, like totally like outside of anything related to my space. But our combo was really inspiring. So.
Nice.
You know, mix it up here and there.
Yeah. And before we like move on to finances, I would just say like you give what you get. Like one thing I really love about you is like you're always sharing like job postings, even if you're like, oh, this might not fit you, but, you know, pass it on. I think like if you're seen as the type of person, like people know, oh, she's always sending me stuff. When something comes up, they'll think like, oh, I should send this to her
too.
I mean,
you would think, but my inbox is empty.
Put it on the world,
I'm
girl. Pull it out. Put it out.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so that's your network. You know, we're building, we're investing, we're hoping that in 10 years, I mean, my honest goal with my network is that y'all will have vacation homes in Bora Bora that I can borrow. So that's who I like to include.
I know I'm no longer sad when people move away. I'm like, yes.
Yes.
Vacation spot. praise. All right. But speaking of vacation spots, this coin.
Yes.
And we talked about spending it extensively.
Yes.
Saving it.
Saving it is can be a challenge.
Can be a challenge. Can but a challenge. Interesting, you brought up that there's a savings mindset.
Yeah.
Speak to me about that.
Okay. So I feel like, you know, and even coming out of that last episode we did with One United around spending triggers and things like that, and people were sharing the different ways they used to spend more recklessly when they were younger. I think, like, adopting the mentality of having savings at all time is something that took a lot of work for me to do.
Mm-hmm.
I was the type of person who, like, you know, I had the savings account, but if I needed to tap into it or wanted to, or saw a pair of shoes on sale, I'd just make that quick transfer.
Yeah.
But I think really getting to a point where you literally can't allow yourself to let that account go empty just in case there's an emergency, just in case something medical comes up, or, you know, or even if you want the shoes or a vacation, but you plan for it.
Yeah.
To me, that's a different mentality than spending everything that you get. And so that's what I mean by a savings mindset. It's just one where you always allocate. Like, when your money comes in, it's not all yours. You always allocate a percentage of it to savings.
Right. Yeah, I agree with that. And I think a big part of switching to that mindset is depersonalizing the coins. Because I feel like spending is emotional. Like, you're doing it to feed something. You're doing it because it's instinctual. And depersonalizing it means, like, okay, this isn't about what makes me feel good. This isn't about anything but these dollars and these cents. Mm-hmm. And, like, kind of just almost ruthlessly saying, okay, these are my savings goals. How can I achieve that?
Why do we need savings, though? Like, because you are a saver.
Sometimes. I mean, I'm actually a recent saver because really, I just got the money to start saving if we want to be real. Because, like, really, I used to just be about, okay, this is my budget and this is how I can, like, be responsible with it. But when it came to, like, a surplus?
Yeah.
Like, what is that? Like, I have enough to cover the bases.
And I think that's prevalent in our community.
I think so, too. One
guy talks about that on their blogs a lot. Like, if you don't have the financial literacy, a lot of us were scraping to meet our necessities. And so when you're in survival mode, you're not necessarily thinking about the extra things you can do with the money.
Right, right, for sure. So savings, and then I think it's also planning, to your point. Mm. It's like, again, it doesn't happen by osmosis. Like, you have to, like, get in the weeds and say, okay, this is where all my money's going. Can anything be spared?
Yeah.
And then, to your point, also not touching it. Like, one of my things with savings account is, like, I don't link it to, like, anything else, like Mint or anything where I can see the total. Like, it's literally going into the abyss.
Wow.
Like, I did not, I don't know what the balance is. Yeah. It's just, it's off.
Yeah.
It's off in the corner.
Yeah. I mean, one thing that really, I think, kind of did it for me with the, switching it on for me, the savings mindset, was I think I'd seen a quote or a meme or something floating around the internet that was like, it's not how much you make, it's how much you save in terms of your worth. Because it really is. Like, and for me, I had to go through getting significant raises every year and still ending up, like, with no money right before the next pay period to realize, like, my money keeps going up and I still don't have any of it. So if I'm not saving it, it really doesn't matter what my salary is.
Yeah.
So
that's true. Yeah. And I would say making it a priority so that, like, once you figure out, like, your budget and what you can spare, if you can, like, some businesses will offer just to, like, split your check and, like, a portion will go to one account and one to another, but, like, kind of taking it off the top so you're not even thinking about it as a loss, like, you're operating from a set amount.
I think
that's a game changer.
Yeah, always taking it, like, so some strategies for doing that. I love just setting up the direct deposits to different bank accounts. Like, most employers at this point offer that, where you can say, just take my check, I don't even want to see it, split it up into 2-3 accounts.
Yeah.
And pay yourself, basically, with what's left over.
Yeah. And for me, what really got me into saving is, like, goal-oriented approach.
Mm.
So having, knowing that I want to accomplish something by, you know, X year. And then working backwards, like, okay, so what's that once I divide all the months? Like, what is that? Perfect. And then I just do an a completely separate set. Like, I have two or three savings accounts. And it's like one's for saving for travel, one's like saving for a home, one's saving for like, you know, shopping and incidentals. So then it's just kind of like, you know, you're putting it in each little pot. Yeah. And then, and I think because I know I'm working toward a goal. So when the money goes, I'm like, oop, one step closer.
Take it.
It's like
motivation.
Yeah.
I love the categories you mentioned, though, because I think a lot of times people think about savings as deprivation. But it's just really about more thoughtful planning. Like,
right.
You're talking about travel and clothes. Like, you can spend that money. You just don't spend it arbitrarily.
That's real. So instead of like saying, oh, I'm going to get this pair of shoes like right now. It's more like, you know, this shoes only come from the shoe account.
Yes.
And if there's no money in the shoe account,
we don't get those shoes. Right, yeah.
And I think if you want to start small, there are some ways. Like, I have a tip jar in my kitchen.
An actual tip jar.
And like, really, I just routinely dump all the coin out of my wallet, all the loose change. So that stuff adds up. Like, for real.
Yeah.
So get you a little, my boyfriend gets those big Carlos Rossi? I've upgraded my taste since then, child, so I don't know what it's called anymore. But you can't, like, you have to break it to, like, get the money out because it has such a small opening.
Oh, so you could put it in.
So
but
you
can't
put
it out.
Yes.
Oh, that's amazing. So that's and if you are like me and prefer the apps and the digital equivalent of keep, you know, saving that money from underneath the couch, there are things like Capital with a Q or Digit. You know, it was really popular until recently. And actually, a lot of banks offer.
Like with the spare change, they round it up to the dollar and save the rest.
Exactly. So there are all sorts of fun solutions. Do what works for you.
So I think it's back to, we did an episode about this, about like what motivates you. And I think you can apply that in your savings too. Like if you're someone who needs to work towards something, goal-oriented stuff can help. If you're someone who... like maybe sacrificing something will help. Like if you feel like you're working towards something that way, like saying, oh, I'm not going to eat out one day of the week and just save that money. Like you got to psychoanalyze yourself and play the games with your mind to get
and
it right.
I had just Sophia Amorosa, Girl Boss. I subscribed to that newsletter as of recently, and they just sent a really cool article about, it was kind of like a, I guess, a controversial like money practice that was suggesting, because if you're someone like me that's working really hard on debt, specifically reducing credit card debt, which we talked about, a lot of times we'll throw like huge amounts of surplus money to that debt, but like with the interest, your progress is like teeters. So the article suggested just not spending any more on those cards and instead putting half of that or a bigger portion towards savings. Because what happens is when you are solely focused on debt and you keep throwing all your money at your debt, your credit cards or whatever become your emergency fund when something comes up, and things always come up.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was one sort of strategy, but just think, you know, really taking an honest look and being okay with the fact, like, debt is a part of the fabric of this nation. I'm all about the debt-free movement. But being honest about the fact that, hey, this might take a couple of years, but let me at least build my savings and not, like, completely deprive my life by trying to, like, pay this thing down.
Yeah, I love that.
Now it's time for Ask Joblog. So this is a segment of the show where we address your career and life questions. You can hit us up anytime at joblogs.com/askjoblogs or call us at 929-324-1090 if you need some fresh advice. We have one question in the inbox today, and Courtney, I think this one is for you.
All right.
It says, hey guys, love the show. Listen to it before work to get me ready for the day, and I totally respect your hustle, so I want to ask for your advice. Could you do a future episode on the grad school process, applying and then getting in? How does it compare to college? What surprised you, and what was the hardest part of the application process?
Hardest part of the application process is that GRE, just because you're just tapping into parts of your brain that you haven't used, like math. in division and stuff like that.
I hate standardized.
Although I live for the vocabulary section because my words are on point for quite some time.
Okay.
I did a study schedule. So like I forgot how often I did it, but it was a good it was like
before work. I remember. Like
was
5
that before?
A.m. Yeah, girl.
I did that?
Yeah.
That's stupid. so I'll either do it before or after work.
Mm-hmm.
And that sucked.
Yeah.
Setting for that, but I killed that thing though. Mm-hmm. So acting like you're really going to class and studying for the GRE. That's mm-hmm. one. Confession, I only wrote one application, an essay to get into undergrad, and then my mom secretly applied to other places because she was like, who's paying for NYU? Not
Lesson,
me.
Right.
So that's how that happened. But I would say, actually, I think it was easier.
The grad school?
Yeah, just because I feel like you know yourself at that point. So when you're like writing these essays, it's like, I actually know, like, and if you're going to, please only go to grad school unless you know why you're going to grad school and, like, you want to accomplish X thing from going.
Yeah.
So it's much easier to, like, get the essay out and done.
Yeah.
And then, like, you get pro tip, save your favorite school for the last application because each one gets better.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, start with one and then work your way to your favorite school.
It's similar, I think, right, to undergrad where you're really planning like a year. And sometimes 2 years out because it's such a commitment.
Yeah.
And if you need to save or think about your finances or.
You need to save and the admission deadlines are usually a few months out. So it's a lot of work. Like applying is just as much work as going.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just plan it out.
What about the scholarship process? Did you start
scholarship?
Doing
I wish I had started doing that earlier because I didn't really get serious about it until after my second year.
Mm-hmm.
And so going about that, I was, searching kind of all the databases, like, from that school would offer. I mean, there's, like, so many scholarship databases.
Yeah.
So, like, searching those. But then I decided, because I don't have a lot of time, because I was in grad school by that point. So really hyper-focusing on, like, stuff that was, like, tailor-made for me. I was applying for, like, women in the communication field, continuing their career, like very specific to my life.
Right.
And then making sure like if it's not above X amount of dollars, I'm not like writing an essay for $500.
Right.
I'm just not. So really kind of focusing your efforts and making sure you're the perfect candidate.
Mm.
That's my tip for scholarships.
Amazing.
Best of luck to you. Godspeed. Call on them. You're going to need them.
Many thanks to our sponsor, One United Bank, America's largest Black-owned bank, for partnering with us to produce this episode today.
Oh, for sure. And if you enjoyed this episode and are looking for more resources to encourage you in your financial journey, head over to oneunited.com.
They've got amazing blogs and content, including their financial literacy blogs with articles that tackle all kinds of topics. So be sure to head over. Also follow them all over the web at One United on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube.
And keep in touch with us at Joblogs and joblogs.com.
Mm-hmm. I'm Hamis Parker.
And I'm at Cleve Out Loud.
See ya.
See ya.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.